The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 7. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight, and honoured, and I love you, I give people in return for you, and nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, Give them up, and to the south, Do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Hear the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 22. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod the ruler, who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them all by shutting up John in prison. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. For the gospel of the Lord.
Speech in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, our readings this morning start with some wonderful words, and those words in Isaiah 43, but now, because God's been talking about the things that Israel's been doing wrong, but now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now, what does it mean to be called by name? Well, we have to start with what does it mean to be created, don't we really? Because God created and named his creation. Okay, so now, anybody see what this is? What does this look like? It's a windmill. It's a plate with a decoration on it, and the decoration is a windmill. I'll bring it down here so you all see how pretty it is, because I think it's very pretty, which is why I bought it. So they're very pretty. But on the back, if we come and we look at the back of this, we find there is a name. On the back of it is the name of the person who created the plate, right? Because when you are a potter, you name your work, right? So this says Les McLemon, or I don't know how to say that, but anyway. So you name your work, and this I've still got my Bridge Gallery tag on it. I bought it in 1990, and it's beautiful, and I love it. It's very precious to me. Now, this morning I thought that maybe, if Grace wants to do something this morning, I thought that it might be good to do something that goes with this, because if we think about this the way that God talks about us, we are created by God. And he says, I've created you. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. Stamped with the name of the Creator and with the name the Creator calls us by. Beautiful and precious. This is precious to me. Very precious. I bought it at a time in my life which was pretty awful. And I keep it. It goes everywhere. Wherever I move, I take it with me because you don't leave precious things behind. So now I have a little challenge for Grace and anybody else who'd like to do it. One of the things that we forget sometimes in our lives is that we are named and that we are created and we are loved exactly as we are. So if you'd like to create something this morning, Grace, it's up to you, or if you ladies would like to create something, maybe you'd like to put your name on one of our pieces of paper there and write it nice and big, and then decorate with that with all of the beautiful things that you can think of to remind you that God created you absolutely beautifully as you are. And then you can remind yourself when you look at it, just as I remind myself when I pick up this plate which sits on my sideboard all the time. God says, I created you. I formed you. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. Who are we? Good question. Question we ask all the time. Identity is one of the things in life we need to know. God is trying to tell Israel and us what our identity is. But in this day and age, identity is a bit of a buzzword, isn't it? We identify as. God is saying, I'm the one who identifies you. I am the one who identifies you. I've given you your name. I created you. I identify you. I can't take this and pretend it's mine and that I did it and scrub out the name of the person who created it and put something else in. It is forever created by the person who created it. And his name is on the back of it, or hers. I actually don't know whether Les is male or female. But created, always stamped. Never anything else but beautifully created by the one who made it. And that's really important because when we start thinking about who we are, we start thinking about it in terms of what people think of us, of all of the other things in the world. But the bottom line for God is that we are his. We were created in the beginning by him. And he has called us by name, and he's called us his, and he's paid a price for us. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. Now, I paid a price for this. I can't remember how much it was, but it was rather expensive because there was more than one, and I would have liked a whole set, but that would have broken the bank. So I do remember it was expensive, and I brought it home, and it stays with me. And because it was expensive, it is precious, but also because I put a lot of store in the way that this spoke to me on a day when I really needed to hear a good thing on a bad time. Oh, I remember it now. It's when I was told that we wouldn't have children. There you go. It just came to me. I couldn't remember before. Maybe that's because my mind has just put it out there somewhere. It's precious because of what it is and what I see in it. We are precious because of what we are and what God sees in us. This is very important to understand. We can say, well, I self-identify in this way or that way or the other way. But the bottom line is that God created us who we are. And that's where we go to find out who we are. And then he goes on, having said that, he says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they won't overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you won't be burned and the flame won't consume you, because I am the Lord your God. I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God does not just create us and leave us to our own devices. That's where the disconnect comes from the plate, really, in a way, because That's created, put into a gallery, somebody buys it, the person doesn't know what happens to it, do they? But God does not leave us. And notice he doesn't say, I put you here and I'm going to stand back and watch it. He says, I put you here, I created you, I am with you. I will go through the waters with you. I will go through the fire with you. Very pertinent words when we look at what's going on in LA at the moment, and in England even with the floods they've had and the terrible storm they're going through at the moment. I will go with you, he says. Through, not outside of, through. Why? Because he is not just there, but he's here with, and he stays with. And he was telling his people here, I will be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to walk with you. These are Isaiah's words, and he's talking to people who are in a really bad state. They're having a horrible time, and he's letting them know that God is saying, you're still precious. Stuff has happened. You're still precious. I'm going to give Egypt as your ransom and Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. How can you possibly give a whole nation as a ransom? That's a very expensive gift, isn't it? That is a really expensive ransom. It's an entire nation. In fact, there's three nations mentioned there. That means that the gift is priceless. We can't put a price on that. You can't put a price on Egypt or Ethiopia or Seba. You can't put a price on those things. They are much more than we could possibly ever pay for. You, because, again, you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. The price is paid because we are precious. And honored. Now, what does honor mean? Honor gives value to the other. We honor another person, and in honoring them, we give them value in our lives. Generally speaking, we can't honor another unless we are going to be honorable ourselves, because we give value with honor. Respect is earned. Honor is given, and it is a giving of value to the other. God honors us. He gives us value, and it comes from his way, his honorableness. And I don't know whether that's a word, but anyway, it comes from him, and it is his value which he gives us in honoring us. He could have simply said through Isaiah, you're precious in my sight and I love you. That's cool, but when he says he honors his people, there is more than that. There is a giving of value. There is a placing of them in an honored position in your life. And then he goes on and he says again, do not fear, I am with you. Do you know how often that is in the Bible? 365 times. How many days in a year? There is a do not fear for every day of the year. Isn't that good? Do not fear. I am with you. See, the antidote to fear is not courage, it is love. Because when I am truly loved, honored, and I know I am precious, I do not need to fear that I will lose anything in the exchange, even if somebody else doesn't honor me or treat me well. I can live in the place where the fear doesn't have to hold me, because I have one who is with me through everything, and I do not need to fear because he will not leave me alone. Do not fear, I am with you. And then he talks about bringing offspring from the east and the west, and I'll gather you from the north and the south, and I'll bring my sons and daughters from far away. God isn't just bringing one person who he looks at and says, oh, you're very, very precious. He's bringing his whole family. He loves a whole family. He's a family man, is our God. He likes to bring his whole family together. We are all one. The fellowship is so important to the Lord, and he brings us in, and he wants to bring us in, and he wants those whom he has created to know that they're created by him, that he is there calling them so that they can join the family. And how do you join the family? Well, you are adopted, are you not? Because the Son of God, whom God spoke to when he was baptized, you see what it says. It says that Jesus was baptized just like everybody else was baptized by John, and the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved, and I'm well pleased with you." I like those words. Be good to hear, wouldn't it? Jesus didn't need to be baptized. Wasn't required of someone who was sinless, because it is a baptism of repentance that he goes through. And sometimes that has puzzled me over the years. Why would you get baptized if you'd never done anything wrong and you didn't need cleansing from sin, right? Why? Because the Son of God is 100% human and 100% God. And that 100% human being needs to take on the sin of the world at the cross, and he needs to participate in our life as we live so he lives. This is a sign of the Son of God taking the sin of the world on himself. This is the Son of God totally identifying with us. You are mine. I've called you by name. I've put my name on you. You are mine. Jesus also, he is not created, he's begotten. But he takes on our flesh and he lives our life through our life he walks. And all the things of life he carries. And in his baptism, he is not being cleansed from sins he's committed, he is taking on the place of the one who is going to redeem all of creation through the cross. He's taking on the sins of the world in that sense that he is in fellowship with us in our sin. It doesn't mean that he's sinning in any way. He takes it on because he's in fellowship with us in our lives, in our sin, and the things that we are living through. And he goes through this baptism, and the Father gives visible proof of his approval. Now, Jesus doesn't need a gift of the Holy Spirit. He's 100% God. Therefore, he's already Holy Spirit, right? Because Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you've got one, you've got the others. But he does start his ministry from here, and this is God saying, hey, this is the one. This is the one, and yes, you are the one. Because our humanity will always seek to try and get a little bit of reassurance. You are my son. I love you. I'm really happy with you. But I've done this publicly because then other people see that, you see. They see the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. They see it, and it says to them, yeah, he's here. Very important moment. It's the reason why we tend to have a feast of the baptism of Jesus, but I sort of decided we weren't going to go quite that way because I felt the Lord was speaking to me about this point of knowing who we are. Jesus knows who he is in the Father because he is the Son, but also because having grown up as a human being, he also needs to be reminded he really is the Son, because our human brain will always try and go in different directions. We're very good at second-guessing ourselves. It is important that he is shown to be the Son. It's out loud, this is my Son. But he's speaking directly to him, reminding him, and I love that, because I don't think Jesus forgets that he's the Son at any time or place. But I think his humanity probably needs that. If we are, therefore, people who are redeemed, we are redeemed because of Jesus, aren't we? The redemption happens, the full redemption happens later on. The price is paid through the one who did the whole thing with us. Birth, life, all of the stuff, homework, school, work, running the carpenter's shop, the whole works. He did everything with us and then paid the price. He bought the creation back and brought it home. We're worth that much to God. And in bringing us home, he says, you can now be sons and daughters of the living God. You are my people. You were always called. Now through Jesus, we come to a place where everyone who is called by his name, who he created for his glory, who he formed and made, these are the ones formed and made, created for God's glory. Our identity is there. We are complete as we are from the moment that God created us. And that's really important too. It's just this one last point I want to make, because it's just such a problem in the world today for a lot of people. You know, you're created whole. I don't have half a plate. I have a whole plate. We are not created incomplete until we find the person who completes us. We are created complete human beings. Every part of you is created as it needed to be, and whether or not it's behaving itself, she says to her own arthritic knees, it is still created by God. We are complete in ourselves. Therefore, we can find our identity in the Lord without the need for anyone else to tell us that. We go to Jesus for our identity. We go to the Father for who we are. The Holy Spirit fills us through faith in Jesus. That means that on our own, we can function as a complete human being. Now, when you find a partner and you find one who is absolutely amazing and you go, yep, that works, this is cool, you have two complete human beings coming together to form one. That is not, I'm incomplete, he's incomplete, bring us together, we make one. It is two complete human beings becoming part of the set. They make a set together. They're separate and together, aren't they? You're your own person. The other ones in the set didn't have the same design on them, but they were part of the set. Created to be together. I bought one. There you go. That means you can function on your own. The world keeps telling us we can't. We can. It also means that if the right one comes along, there's nothing wrong with having them with you. Alone or together is okay. Very important. I think this has been taught wrongly, and a lot of people say, you know, this person will complete me. That's not how it works. And if you're looking for that, I think people are actually being drawn in, and especially our young ones, into an expectation which is false, because they're thinking that another person is going to make them what they want to be. But I tell you now, who you are is who you are, and God has made you absolutely beautiful and complete exactly as you are. You don't need anyone else to make you any more beautiful than God has made you right now, no matter how many flaws you may see in yourself. You're precious in God's sight, and he loves you. And we are complete. Absolutely complete. Holy Spirit comes to us just as Holy Spirit came to Jesus. Parakletos, the one who draws alongside and leads us in our lives, gives us that way forward. And he is with us through absolutely everything, not because it's just something he does, but because he is with us, because he loves us, because he truly is one who knows what it is to be human. Jesus is still human, right? He died, he rose, he's gone to the Father, he still has his human body, folks. Somewhere out there, I don't know, Peter Adam said he sometimes sort of pictures Jesus sitting on a star out there going, they'll get here eventually, won't they, Dad? I don't think that's true. He still has his body because our bodies are redeemed. He's the first resurrected human being. and we will also be resurrected, full bodies, absolutely human. And at that moment, none of the things which have dragged us down will ever exist again.